Chapter 8. And another such case presented itself. For on the same day, and at the same time, as if under some demonic foresight, the Caesareans began to do away with the Judeans among them. Now this was the situation prior to the slaughter. Philippos, son of Joachim and prefect of King Agrippa, had been unexpectedly saved from the besieged royal palace in Jerusalem. And as he fled, he fell into another danger. He would have been done away with by Menachem and his brigands. But some of his Babylonian relatives prevented the brigands from accomplishing their purposes. Therefore, Philippos stayed there for 4 days. Then, on the fifth, he fled, using a disguise in order to avoid being obvious. After he had reached a certain one of his own villages in the mountains, lying near Gamala Fortress, he sent word to some of those under him, ordering them to meet him. Now, although Philippos was making these plans, it was to his advantage to have them hindered by the deity. For if this had not happened, he would have certainly perished. For being immediately seized by a fever, he wrote letters to the boys of Agrippa and Berenike, and gave them to one of his freedmen to bring to Varus. Now this man was governing the kingdom at that time, for Agrippa and the other royalties had gone off to Beirut, with the desire to meet with Cestius Gallus. But to administer his affairs, he had delegated and left behind Varus, who was a companion of his. Therefore, when Varus received the documents from Philippos and discovered that he had escaped, he became depressed. For he supposed that, once Philippos had arrived, he himself would seem to have no further use. Therefore, he took the man who had brought the letters and led him out before the multitude and charged him with forgery. He also alleged that the man was lying in having brought a message stating that Philippos had fought the Romans in Jerusalem alongside the Judeans. So he had him killed. When the freed man did not return, Philippos was uncertain of the cause. So he dispatched a second man with letters, in order to send a message back to him stating what had happened to the previous one, because he had delayed so long. But when this man arrived, Varus made mischievous allegations against him too, and had him done away with. For even he was aroused by the Syrians in Caesarea to be great-minded. Indeed, they were saying that Agrippa would be done away with by the Romans because of the crimes committed by the Judeans, and Varus, being of royal descent, would receive the government. For even Varus was, admittedly, of royal race, a grandson of the Suhaim who had been tetrarch of Lebanon. Therefore, because of this, Varus was deluded. Indeed, he kept the letters to himself, contriving that the king would not peruse the documents. But he set about having all the exits guarded, so that no one might escape, in order to bring a message to the king about what was taking place. and in order to gratify the Syrians in Caesarea, he killed many of the Judeans. Indeed, within a single hour, more than 20,000 were slaughtered, but all Caesarea was emptied of Judeans. For even the fugitives were arrested by Florus and taken down into the dockyards as prisoners. Those who lived in the cities throughout Syria arrested the Judeans among them, including women and children, and did away with them without citing any incrimination against them. For they had neither contemplated any revolution or revolt from the Romans, nor enmity against the Syrians themselves, nor were they plotting to. But at this blow from Caesarea, the entire Judean nation was brutalized. And they formed themselves into units and began ravaging both the villages of the Syrians and the adjacent cities, Philadelphia and Heshbon and Gerasa and Pehel and Scythopolis. Then, after attacking Gadar and Hippos and Golan, indeed sacking them but then burning them, they advanced against Kadesh of the Tyrians and Ptolemais, as well as Geba in Caesarea. But neither were Sebaste nor Ashkelon able to hold out against their rage. Instead, after destroying them by fire, they demolished Amphidon and Gaza. But many villages in the regions of each of these cities was also taken by storm, and the murder of the men who were being captured was endless. Truly, the Judean multitude done away with by the Syrians was no less. Instead, they also slaughtered those whom they had taken into their cities, not solely out of hatred as previously, but instead also anticipating future risk to themselves. But a terrible disturbance was gripping all of Syria, and every city had been divided into two armed encampments. But salvation for one side lay in anticipating the other. And indeed, they spent their days in bloodshed, but the more difficult nights were spent in dread. For even though they all believed that they had rid themselves of the Judeans, still, each continued to hold the Judaizers in suspicion. And while no one was yet ready to do away with this ambiguous element in the various places, each man feared a mixed person, as though he were an actual foreigner. But it was greed that kept inviting the slaughter of their opponents, even those who had for a long time seemed to be the most mild. For they, without terror, would pillage the belongings of those who had been done away with, and they would transfer the spoils of those who had been done away with to their own houses, as if they had been the result of a pitched battle. And the man who gained the most was held in honor, like one who had overcome the greatest number of his enemies. But it was possible to see the cities filled with unburied bodies, and the corpses of old men scattered together with infants. Also, women without a covering for modesty. And indeed, The entire province was filled with indescribable calamities. Yes, but still greater than what had been committed in each of these cases was the tension over what was still being threatened.